when countries sign the convention, they're making a commitment to protect World Heritage Sites both at home and abroad.
Yeah.
Let's take it in two steps. On first of all, internationally, have you had a sense that countries have worked collectively in an international context to protect World Heritage Sites, and then we'll come to within the country?
I've no sense whatsoever that they've done anything on the international side. I mean, it's one of those things where we move into what's called the Asian way, and that is see no evil, hear no evil. I mean, I don't see any countries doing anything much internationally to exert pressure. Maybe they do. I'm so far out of the loop now that it may be happening and I don't hear about it, but I'd be really surprised if it was happening much.
But you didn't see that much at the time.
Oh, no. It was a very rah-rah, let's join and get more members and get more places on the at that stage.
Mm-hmm, but it was less about conservation then.
Yeah, well, it seemed to be, yeah. There was, you leave, don't you worry about that, we'll be all right, we'll look after these places. And that led to, I suppose, a very standoffish culture, I think. That was my perception at the time. Mm-hmm. What happens now, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the signing, you referred to it a bit earlier, do you think that the World Heritage Convention has had an impact on national programs and national conservation?
Certainly in Australia, I think it had an impact at one stage, and it gets flaunted from time to time as an argument why we should look after Lord Howe Island or Kakadu or all the other sites better. Does it achieve that? Maybe. Would they be looked after as well without the World Heritage Convention? Sadly, I'd say in Australia, probably yes. Well, as well or badly as they are, I mean, I should say.